sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Decoy in Spring Branch, here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Brian McDonald.
Jeremy out moonlighting on his second gig. That means BMAC is here doing a better gig as he and I take you home. Short show today, done at 5:30 because of the Ags and
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Yeah, SEC tournament.
Fighting Texas Aggies basketball with Dave South. That he doesn't do the games anymore. But if he did, it would sound like that. But before we get to that, I do also remind you of one of my favorite places to go if it's not here at the Decoy. X-Golf and Katie. If you're a golfer, let me tell you about the best golf simulators I've seen in the Houston area. Right there at 99 and I-10, X-Golf and Katie is phenomenal. Eight of the best simulators you're ever going to find. You can play up to 50 courses worldwide that are real courses with unbelievable graphics. But the biggest thing to me is this is the most accurate golf indoors you're ever going to find. It is putting, real putting, that is really good in terms of being able to practice and get better. You can use your own golf balls. Every shot track is done to calculate the distance, the spin, and you can use it as a driving range. And the fact is, it's like the best golf range meets the best sports bar because they have a ton of TVs, they have great food and beverage, and it's a great spot where you can hang out, hit golf balls, and then meet, greet, mingle, and have some great food and beverage too. Check them out today. I can't tell you enough about what a great spot it is. If you're a golfer, you want to hit some balls after hours, or maybe it's raining and you missed a tee time, just go to X Golf Katie and check it all out because it's going to be worth your while. Tell them I said you buy. All right, so you want to get into, and we need to still kind of cover, there's been a lot of action in the NFL. I really believe that from the standpoint of activity and excitement, the NFL has done what I didn't know if they were capable of doing, and that is equal, rival, and maybe better what the NBA does in terms of their free agency period when it opens and the excitement it creates.
Yeah, I mean, most years NBA free agency is obviously the most exciting offseason whenever it kicks off in the first week of July. But yeah, I think the NFL has arguably surpassed it this season. Hopefully more NFL offseasons will continue to be like this instead of what usually is kind of boring past the first couple hours. But I wanted to check in kind of the rest of the AFC South and see, obviously, Texans, AFC South champs last year. Have any of the teams possibly caught up? First, looking at the Colts, I think their biggest moves were bringing back players that are already on the roster. They re-signed Michael Pittman. They bring back their defensive lineman, Grover Stewart. Obviously, good players, and it's important they bring them back to not lose any ground, but I don't think they made up any ground. What are your thoughts on what the Colts have done?
I don't either, B-Mac, because I think the one thing that we failed to mention, no matter who they add and who they brought in, is the fact that who they lost was important. And you lost Gardner Minshew, and you replaced him with Joe Flacco. Gardner Minshew was not just a good backup for your team. He was a lifesaver for that team to have you in a position to possibly earn a playoff spot in the last game of the regular season against the Texans. Because the fact of the matter is, you didn't know that Richardson was going to have injury problems. Once he did, you basically could have written it off and said, season's over. Instead, because of what Gardner Minshew was able to do, they were able to compete for a playoff spot the entire rest of the regular season. And I don't know if Flacco can do the same. He did it last year, but with his age and the fact that he is not elusive in any way, shape, or form, where Gardner Minshew has some escapability, I think that hurts a lot, and I think that's something that you have to keep an eye on. But overall, what the Colts lost to me was a concern.
Yeah, because I mean, Joe George points this out all the time. I mean, Anthony Richardson finished one game that he started last year. One game, and obviously had even some injury concerns in college. So, yeah.
You lost Moss, too.
Yeah, you lost Zach Moss. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Jonathan Taylor still, obviously, I believe will be a very capable and
upper-level. But Moss was another guy. Talk about fill-ins in depth. Moss and Minshew were the reason why this team was still in it the entire season when injuries or holdouts could have really set them back.
Certainly. I don't think they've taken – I mean, I wouldn't expect them to drop off very much, but I definitely agree with you and would second the idea that they definitely didn't take a step forward. So Jacksonville Jaguars – their biggest, new headline-catching move would be signing Gabe Davis, the wide receiver formerly of the Buffalo Bills. They got a 3-year contract on Gabe Davis. They also got another guy from the Bills, Mitch Morse, the center, who was a cap casualty. Bills had to let him go, and the Jaguars pick up their center. A few other moves. They signed Devin Duvernay, who'd been with the Ravens, hook him. Mostly a kick returner. He'll play some wide receiver as well, but I don't think he's going to crack their, he's not going to be on the field a whole lot with Gabe Davis and Christian Kirk and Evan Engram and those guys. But I think the Jaguars got a little better, but I don't think they did anything that makes that scares me.
So Armstead adding him late.
Oh, I'm sorry, Armstead. I forgot about that. Yeah,
I think that's the one thing that's a plus for them.
Yeah, you're
but
right.
Your
you're
wide
right.
receiver one, Gabe Davis isn't a wide receiver one.
No, I like Christian Kirk. I like Gabe Davis,
but he's inside.
But they're inconsistent.
Yeah,
I don't think it really added much.
No,
for
I
them.
Don't think they have a true wide receiver one.
They don't.
So I think that and losing Judy, no matter what you think about him, he was supposed to be their wide receiver one. So I don't think they got better there. I think the fact that when you add an Armstead, yeah, you have the chance to make your defense better, but they also had to get rid of a lot of players going into free agency and around free agency to where I don't think that they're any better than they were, and it still all falls on the quarterback's shoulder or shoulders in the fact that I still don't believe Trevor Lawrence is a full-time, every-down, superstar-caliber quarterback, no matter what where he was drafted and what people thought about him coming out. I see inconsistent throws. I see inaccurate throws as much as I see also see strong-armed, well-placed throws. You can't have inconsistencies and expect to be a playoff team that has higher aspirations, whereas we know what you have in Houston after 1 year of C.J. Stroud, and he looks like he's already better than Trevor Lawrence. So I'm not that concerned about Jacksonville as long as Houston, with all the upgrades that they made, get the same kind of quarterback play out of C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, I don't think the Jags or Colts have closed any ground on y'all on the Texans at all. Where I guess you could, or one team you could argue they closed some ground, I guess to what degree will be the question. But Tennessee Titans at least added some big names as Calvin Ridley and Tony Pollard. I think they massively overpaid for Calvin Ridley. And obviously Tony Pollard's efficiency dropped off last year after being a very good 1-2 punch along with Ezekiel Elliott in Dallas's first couple seasons of the league. But I mean, I guess if Will Levis takes a step forward, then these weapons could be what puts the Titans over the top and gets them back to competing for the division. But do you have any increased fear from the Titans after the additions of Calvin Ridley and Tony Pollard?
So, again, I'll start with the most important position on the field. And Will Levis is still going to make mistakes. He's a gunslinger. He's probably going to get hurt at some point the way he likes
that
to take on.
The offensive line is
not only that.
Not only is he offensive linebacker, but he shows maybe the least pocket awareness of any quarterback.
He loves to think he's a fullback.
Oh, my God.
And he's going to get crushed one time the wrong way.
And he did against the Texans.
It's literally going to kill him.
Twice.
So you know that's coming. He makes mistakes. You know that's coming. But in terms of upgrading, well, they went out, whether it turns out or not, and they went and took a swing at a wide receiver one and paid him like one, like you mentioned.
$90 million.
It's a lot of money. But they went out. It reeks desperation to me more than anything else because they just went out and said, I'm going to try and spend as much money as I can to try and desperately get better as quick as I can. You moved on from a guy like Derrick Henry for a guy like Tony Pollard. I know Tony Pollard was coming off a knee operation. You don't know if he's going to be better this year. But what you knew was you had on and off the field one of the biggest folk heroes in Titans history that the entire offense was centered around. It's hard to believe that you upgraded that much more from Derrick Henry with Tony Pollard. If you were going to do that, you should have chased Saquon. You should have chased Josh Jacobs. You should have looked for the true upgrade from where Derrick Henry is in his career. I don't think they did that.
No, I think Tony Pollard's a good back, but I agree with you. They didn't upgrade. The level that Derrick Henry played at when he basically was a one-man offense, elevating the Titans to being in the playoffs, being a team that you had to consider. I mean, hell, got to an AFC championship against the Chiefs a few years ago. Tony Pollard is not capable of that level play, of the play that Derrick Henry did to get to the Titans to that level. So I definitely agree. And Calvin Ridley, I think he's a nice wide receiver, but I think it tells you – I think this is more damning than anything else about what they're trying to – or what they're saying internally about Will Levis because, I mean, sure, you got to get a quarterback weapons, but this level of desperation to go out and overpay Calvin Ridley tells me, okay – Will Levis is going to need a lot of help for him.
Well, and they also looked at the fact that they weren't willing to risk the kind of quarterback that they had behind Levis to be the kind of guy.
Oh, yeah, Malik Willis.
Yeah, Willis is not the kind of guy that they were willing to do anything with anymore. So they went out and they got Mason Rudolph, which I don't know is that big of an upgrade.
No,
but
no.
I
think everybody's an upgrade over Malik Willis, but it's marginal.
When I'm looking at the fact that they got Cushenberry, the center from the Broncos, biggest thing was, he might solidify their line. They overpaid. They overpaid at every position that they tried to upgrade in the free agency process so far, and I think that'll catch up to them as well. I don't think any of the three teams in the division did anything that made me fear them more than the fact that I believe the Texans got better.
You know what this really comes off to me as with what the Titans did? Is I think management there – probably faced some backlash from the firing of Mike Vrabel. That was a popular head coach who had a lot of success. I mean, I mentioned it a second ago. They were in the AFC title game against the Kansas City Chiefs just back in 2019 season. So this was a team that had a lot of success under Mike Vrabel. They pushed him out for reasons I still don't understand, and I think they're now trying to buy back
fans.
Brian,
I'm going up a step further than you. This isn't management. This is ownership.
Okay, you're right. That's what I was saying. I didn't phrase it correctly. Yeah, I believe
this is the skunk.
Right.
This is Amy Adams skunk.
Amy Adams skunk.
And Amy Adams skunk decided, I didn't realize how pissed off the fan base was going
to
be after I got rid of the popular head coach. Now I'm trying to buy everything back to try and save my face and save my ass and do what I think I need to do to make sure the fan base is still with me. Because they overspent, like I said. I don't know that they upgraded at head coach at all.
I don't think they did.
And I think that when you start talking about what we did in terms of who the Texans got and who they're replacing, it's pretty easy to say across the board the Texans upgraded at a lot of positions.
Right.
I don't know that Tennessee did, because Pollard, to what you've had in Derrick Henry, we'll see. I don't know. Could Pollard stay healthy? Is he better than Derrick Henry? He should be, but will he be? I don't know. You have overpaid a guy like Ridley. Is a quarterback the most important position on the field? I don't know that year two that you're going to have a guy that's volatile, that can be overly emotional, that's insane in the way that he tries to take on hits. It's going to be the guy that's going to have the kind of leadership and longevity from start of the year to the end of the year for a team like Tennessee.
So we don't have time for the audio for this, but let's quickly get into Justin Fields before we get into our last segment. Again, we're going to have to break it early for Aggies basketball. They're taking on Ole Miss in the SEC tournament. But Justin Fields, it seems like the market is gone. I mean, the Steelers went ahead and decided to go with Russell Wilson. The Falcons decided to go with Kirk Cousins. It seems like the QB needy teams, New England signed Jacoby Brissett. It seems like all the QB needy teams outside the ones we know are going to take quarterback at the top of the draft have pretty much filled the needs.
I think there's two he can still go to.
So where's the landing spot for Justin
Fields? So I think the two landing spots are, you didn't overpay salary-wise for Gardner Minshew in Vegas.
Yeah, it's in
and you're loading up
Aiden O'Connell.
You got O'Connell, you got Gardner Minshew, and you got a whole lot of money spent on defense. If you go out and get a cheap contract on the last year of a deal with Justin Fields, let them compete. Whoever doesn't win the job is going to be a fine backup for the rest of the year. Fields, if it's Fields, he can move on to greener pastures and try and find something else next year. If he does win the job and plays well, he could set his future in Vegas with a young team that has a lot of potential to be very good. And if it's not Vegas, I think stay in the division, I think Denver. I think that if you're, again, looking for a bridge guy on a cheap deal because of the money you owe Russell Wilson and the dead cap money that getting rid of him cost and the fact that Peyton doesn't know who his long-term solution could be, and maybe even if he drafts Bo Nix, that I think that you could go to making a trade for like a sixth-round pick if you go the Mac Jones route or whatever he costs you. It's not going to be that much. And for 1 year, you have a bona fide former starting quarterback in the league that maybe under Sean Payton he can find the best of.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, I see the path there for both those teams, but it would seem odd to spend, I know it wasn't a massive contract, but spend money on Gardner Minshew and then spend on another quarterback as well. And I just don't see Sean Payton.
But Gardner Minshew's a $10 million deal with incentives to get it to
right.
18. If he doesn't start, he doesn't play. Yeah, you spent more money than you probably should have on a backup.
Yeah, that's
but you're not
worse.
Paying a whole lot of
no,
Justin Fields.
It's not super prohibitive as far as the overall dollar amount. It just seems like a weird strategy.
It's a bridge. Either way, it's a bridge.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, Fields and Sean Payton would be an interesting fit. Doesn't feel like his type of quarterback, but I don't know. The Bears are going to have to get creative because otherwise you're going to face a situation when they draft Caleb Williams. I mean, you can't just cut
right.
Fields, but what's
ESPN
the bucket?
Did a whole segment today on talking to football people around the league in big positions that said the Bears' best course of action was to keep Justin Fields for now and still draft Caleb.
Ugh.
That is a nightmare disaster
no.
waiting to happen because
no.
the guy that's going to be your long-term quarterback doesn't want to look over his shoulder and see the guy that was supposed to be their long-term solution at quarterback. And if Fields doesn't get the job, you can't tell me he's going to be the happy, good Samaritan, good camper for your team in the locker room if he's not playing. I don't care what kind of guy he is.
No. Yeah, it's an interesting situation that's going to – I don't think it's going to resolve itself anytime soon. But we got to get out because we got to get to our car wreck of the day.
Car wreck of the day is the final segment. You know that's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. But before we go to the break, I want to tell you about my good friend Doc Linville one more time. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. Whether you're losing your hair and you want the full-blown NeoGraft, which I did, which is absolutely a game-changer to get your hair back. If you've got pattern baldness, you're thinning, you already got bald spots – genetically, he told me, and I was not aware of this, you never lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head. He makes sure he takes some of that hair where you got it, and you're never going to lose it, and puts it where you need it most, and the results are phenomenal. And because you're never going to lose it in the place where he took it from, it's going to stay and grow and be with you for the long haul, no matter where he puts it. It could be that baboon's butt that's showing itself on the top and the back, or it could be your hairline in front that's went from a forehead to an eight head, and you don't think there's any time stopping it soon. It'll take care of it for you if you take care of it by getting in contact with him. And because you listen to us, you get a free consultation with Doc and his staff. It normally costs $150. You get it absolutely free. Just go to 975hair.com right now. Set up the appointment. Ask the questions. Get the answers. Find out if the procedure's right for you, too. Granado did it. I did it. We can't rave enough about how great it was and the results we've gotten. You can be the next in line. Check out 975hair.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. I'll give you a f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right, car wreck of the day. You know the way we like to do it. We wrap up the show Monday through Thursday with this one. Have several nominees. We make the final decision. You guys can have a vote, too, or throw in a nomination as well. We'll start with Kermit the Frog's best friend, Garrett Cole. You determine who's a bigger car wreck, the guy asking the questions or Garrett Cole's inability to answer.
Garrett, how you doing, man?
City Yankee Nation, concerned about your status for the season, Garrett. How's that
going? Yeah, Garrett Cole, not too forthright and forthcoming with any kind of answers. That's like the Mark Berman moment where you know where he's going to be, when he's going to be there. You get the right tip. You see him. You know you've hit it big, and then he does that.
The only difference between that, what we saw there, and Mark Berman, one, it wasn't the airplane. Mark Berman was the best at being there when the airplane arrived. And two, he never asked about his feelings. Mark Berman always had to ask, what are your emotions? What are your feelings about this? But, I mean, we listened to a 40-second clip where the guy must have asked the same question eight different times. I mean, how many times are you going to ask that to Garrett Cole like you before you go, okay, never mind, I'll see you later.
But who's the biggest car wreck? That's like peppering him with questions?
I would say they're Porter because, I mean, after the second time Garrett Cole ignores you, get the hint and move on.
But wouldn't you also be cool enough to go, hey, man, I appreciate the hustle. You got to do what you got to do, but I'm not talking today. I'm not answering any questions.
Yeah, I could see that argument. Garrett Cole could at least said that. But then you invite an actual back and forth, and he's it's like it's some TMZ-style blogger. I'm not having a back and forth with this guy.
It's like giving a dirty look to a pack of gnats. If you swat at them and let them know you're not interested, they might fly away. But if you just sit there and give them a stink eye, they're going to be all over you.
Yeah, maybe so. So the other nominee we have for car wreck of the day, Rudy Gobert, gets a $100,000 fine for making a money sign, like Johnny Manziel money sign gesture at NBA referee Scott Foster, and has really opened up a new can of worms about with accusations and the idea of possibly refs being on the take in the NBA. Certainly not a new topic for the NBA, but Scott Foster has never been one short to not be involved in controversies. Well, obviously, remember
Chris Paul.
His back and forth with Chris Paul. But your quick thoughts on this Rudy Gobert situation.
I was watching the game, shockingly, I know, and saw Rudy Gobert make the gesture. That's not $100,000.
I mean, I thought that was an overreaction.
Yeah,
I agree.
I could see the NBA going, hey, we're not about that life. We don't like that. We've obviously had a reputation with officials from going back a ways. Tim Donaghy. $25,000 maybe. $100,000 excessive. They have to admit the fact that if they go back and look at the tape every night, we saw it with the Knicks game. We saw it with the Knicks after that when they got screwed against the Rockets. There's been a ton of bad officiating in the league. That's what they should be more concerned about.
Yeah, and I think that just speaks to the overall confidence people have in NBA referees. Like, typically, I revert to people can be bad at their jobs, or people like Scott Foster to Chris Paul can have vendettas, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're on the take and crooked. But at the very least, the NBA has to take some sort of action to restore the confidence
of the
fans.
Scott Foster's just an egotistical D-bag, if you want to be honest.
Right. I agree with that. But just, I think sometimes fans leap to the on the take too quickly. They could just be bad at it. Not that they should be. Not that I'm excusing it. But some people are just bad at
But he's
the job.
King of letting his personal feelings and emotions dictate how he calls a game. Kevin McHale will tell you that. The Rockets will tell you that. Obviously, other teams will tell you that. Chris Paul will tell you that. The fact that it got to the league level and had to be addressed because of how he treated Chris Paul over the years is ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's not just Rudy Gobert. We don't have time for it, but Zion Williamson has been talking about it, about how the referee's whistle changes throughout the year. I just think the NBA seems to want to shove this and bury it under a rug every time it comes up, and I don't think that's really an option anymore.
No, I think
it has to be addressed.
And with all the leagues, we're beyond the point now to where you can just do what you want to do and say, I'm a dictator, this is my league, I'll do what I want. Because they're being exposed, the videotape doesn't lie, the players are now speaking up against it, and it's going to be a bigger problem until you do something about it, quite honestly.
All right, so who's our car wreck of the day? We got Aggies basketball against Ole Miss in the SEC tournament coming up next here on ESPN 97.5, but who is your car wreck of the day, Joel?
I'll say the NBA for how they handled the Rudy Gobert situation.
I agree with that. $100,000, like, I get you have to find Gobert, probably, but $100,000 is way too steep.
All right, if you enjoyed the party, thanks for being a part of the Hive. Lots of our loyal listeners showing up and being a part of it. We love it. We're back in studio tomorrow. Jeremy out. B-Mac still in. That means you can have a fantastic Friday with us in the Hive as Jeremy calls Cougar basketball. Y'all have a great night, everybody. Enjoy the Aggs. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.